Okay, so I'm going to be straight up with you this morning. I have one goal. One goal this morning, and that goal is to convince you that you are rich and why it's important that you know it. And I'm talking about rich as far as wealth is concerned. I'm not talking about the spiritual blessings that we have. Those are innumerable. I'm talking about cash, baby. I'm talking about dinero. I am saying that you are rich. I see some skeptical faces out there. It's okay. At one time, I was skeptical as well, convincing me that I was rich. And then several years ago, I read a sermon by a guy named Andy Stanley. He's a pastor on the East Coast of this huge church. And Andy came across 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, like most pastors, he pays attention to Paul's letters to Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor, so we pastors, we sort of pay attention to the letters to Timothy to get guidance and direction in our ministry. So he's studying 1 Timothy, but then he gets to the end, and he has the same reaction that I do. Because when you get to verse 17, it says, command those who are rich in this present world. All right, in this present world. So we're talking wealthy people, right? And I thought, well, I could stop right there. I'm not rich. I don't know anybody that's rich. Therefore, I don't need to continue reading, because this is command those who are rich in this present world. So everything following that are instructions for rich people. Since I wasn't rich and I didn't know rich people, I didn't need to read anymore. Now, if perchance someday I become rich, let's say I start hobnobbing with, you know, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, well, then I'll come back to it. And I'll read it and I'll study up on it so I can tell them what to do about being rich. And then Stanley hits me right between the eyes with a fact. If you make $48,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of the wage earners in the world. Let that sink in. If you make $48,000, you are in the top 1% of the wage earners in the world. If you make $37,000, you make 96% more than the other wage earners in the world. Most, if not all of you, are rich. Now, I know some of you are saying, hold on, timeout, foul. Well, sure, if you compare us to all the other countries in the world, but that's not fair. Are you sure about that? Scripture is written for the world. God is addressing his people worldwide. Therefore, it is a world perspective. So he says, command those who are rich in this present world. And then he goes on to give the instructions on that. The fact of the matter is, most, if not all of you, are rich. The problem is you don't feel rich. See, there's a difference. There's a difference between being rich and feeling rich. The fact is, you're rich, but you just don't feel rich. Right? You don't feel it, so you're not rich, that some other person is rich, but that can't be you. Now, my guess is there have been times in your life when you have felt pretty rich, right? For instance, a number of years back, I went to Uganda on a mission trip, right? And as I was strolling around Uganda, I'm telling you, I felt wealthy, all right? And I'm not talking just when I was out in the bush with the grass huts and the dirt floors. I'm talking about in the cities, right? So when electricity comes on once every third day, and they're saying that's a good thing, right? When they're riding around thinking they're extremely blessed in their vintage 1970 Honda motorcycles, right? Thinking they are on top of the world. Looking around there, yeah, I felt pretty rich. Now, maybe you've had a similar experience. Maybe you've been on a mission trip someplace, or maybe just on vacation, right? You went down to someplace in Mexico, or you went someplace in the Caribbean, and you went off the resort to go shopping in town. And as you traveled to town, you saw how people were living. And you went, wow, these folks don't have anything. And you felt, wow, I have a lot in my life. The problem is then you land back home, right? And then as the days and weeks go by, that dissipates. Because you start comparing yourself to everyone else around you. And they've got pretty much the same thing that you do. So at one moment you felt rich, but then all of a sudden you didn't feel rich anymore. Because you're comparing yourself to everyone else. But there's a difference. There's a difference to being rich and feeling rich. There's a couple things that prevent us from feeling rich. There's a couple reasons why we don't feel rich. The first one is this: it's lack of margin. Margin is the difference between what you make and what you spend. So that gap between how much you bring in income and how much you have in expenses, that's your margin, right? If you have a large margin, well, then you probably feel like you're doing pretty good. You're well off. But if you have a small or no margin, no matter how much money you make, you don't feel rich because everything you have coming in is going out, right? Everyone remember their first job? I'm not talking about your allowance. I'm talking about your first job. You got your first real paycheck, right? Wasn't that a day? That was a fantastic day. Came home with that paycheck in hand, and I thought to myself, I can do anything I want, right? Because I didn't have any expenses, right? Mom was putting food on the table. She was putting clothes on my back, providing the house that I lived in, right? I didn't have any expenses. So I had this huge margin. I thought to myself, I can do anything I want with this money. Mom had different ideas, of course. But I thought, at least for a brief moment, I could do anything because I had lots of margin, right? But as time goes by, that margin shrinks. Now, that makes sense. That makes it you can't live with your parents forever. No, really, you can't live with your parents forever. Okay, so it means you move out, right? And then all of a sudden you got to pay rent, you got to buy your own clothes, you got to buy your own food, right? And then all of a sudden the margin gets smaller and smaller. Here's the issue, at least for many people, as their income goes up, so does their lifestyle. When they have an opportunity to build a greater margin, right? When I first heard this, although it's simple, I went, oh, wow. That's simple, but so true, right? So income goes up, lifestyle goes up, and all of a sudden, you don't have a larger margin. So you don't feel rich, right? The grossest example of this is professional athletes. So for instance, a professional football player in one season will make more money than what I'll make in a lifetime, right? You look at some of the pro athletes, they'll make more in one season than what I'll make in an entire lifetime. You ready for this? 78% of them will be bankrupt within 5 years of retirement. I had to check two sources to make sure that was right. 78% will be bankrupt within 5 years. Why? They have no margin, right? They're bringing in millions and they're spending millions and there's no margin. If you were to ask them, are you rich? They'd say, no, I'm not rich. I'm not rich at all because of lack of margin. The second reason that we don't feel rich is kind of related to the first one, and that is because rich is a moving target, right? Rich is somebody else, right? It's somebody who has more than you. What that means is not one of us is rich, but we all know someone who's rich, right? It's the other guy because they've got more than I do because rich is always a moving target, right? So I'll use myself as an example again. Now we'll go to my college days. College days, I was going for a job that was going to make me in the summer. Are you ready for this? $5 an hour. If I could make $5 an hour, I could afford school, my books, everything. I mean, I'd be on the gravy train. If I could land the job, I even did some quick math there, right? 40 hours a week, that's $200 a week. Wow, right? I'd be all set. Yeah, I didn't get the job, by the way. But now, you look at that, that's laughable, right? If you tell somebody that they're going to make $30,000 and they're making $10,000, they go, wow, that's incredible, right? But when they make $30,000, well, then rich moves, right? In fact, they did a poll. They did a survey. Gallup did. And they asked people who are making around $30,000 a year, what would it take for you to feel secure, like you were making it, you are really doing well? They said $60,000. They asked the same question to people who are making $50,000. They said $100,000. Pretty much every group that they asked, for them to feel wealthy, secure, all of that, it was double what their wage was, right? Because rich is a moving target, right? Money Magazine, they did a poll of all of their subscribers, and they said, so what would your net worth have to be for you to feel rich? The most common answer, $5 million. If they had $5 million, they'd feel rich. My guess is, I can't prove it, if you ask the people who had $5 million, they'd tell you $10 million. Because rich is always a moving target. It's always somebody else. So there is a difference between feeling rich and being rich. And I'm telling you that when you look at it from a global perspective, Most, if not all of you, are rich. Now, why is that important? It's important because there are some inherent dangers in wealth. Now, hear me on this. There is nothing wrong with being rich. It is not sinful to have wealth, right? This is not about making you feel guilty about the things that you have. Absolutely not at all, right? But to recognize, hey, I'm rich, and Scripture tells me that there are inherent dangers to have that go along with wealth, right? Take a look at what Jesus says, right? He says, you're rich, but be on guard. Be on guard. You got to be careful, right? Look what he talks about, the dangers. So if we look at Luke chapter 18, so it's the rich young ruler who wants to follow Jesus. The whole thing concludes, but Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Hokey smokes, are you kidding me? I mean, I've been at the zoo. Those guys really wrestle those camels just to go in a circle with a kid on their back. We're going to shove that puppy through the eye of a needle? That's why the crowd says, well, that's impossible. And Jesus says, you're right. It's impossible for you, but it's possible for God. Now, he's talking about salvation. And we're completely dependent upon God for our salvation. Only God can rescue us and call us to faith and show us the sacrifice of his son, Jesus, so that we can be redeemed. But he's also showing us if we're going to handle our wealth, we can't do it on our own. We can't handle the inherent dangers on our own. It's not possible, but it's possible with God. So it's important that we recognize that we're rich, and now we've got to be on guard so that we can be aware of the dangers that wealth has with it. So we go back to Paul's letter to Timothy. So what is the danger that is there? Well, the first danger, so we look at verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world. He could say anything here, right? He says, not to be arrogant. It's the danger of arrogance, right? So arrogance, meaning that when you're arrogant, that means you think highly of yourself, more highly than you should. When you're arrogant, you think that you have special privileges. You think that you know more and can do more and that you should be allowed certain things just because of who you are. My guess, all of you have met at one time or another an arrogant rich person, right? Go ahead and be honest. You've met an arrogant rich person. They thought that because they had more, that they knew more, right? They had more than you, therefore they were smarter than you. They knew more than you, and they felt that they had special privileges that you didn't. They should show extra favors to them because of their arrogant rich person, right? Now, I understand none of you would even dream of being arrogant. I mean, you don't even believe that you're rich yet, so how could you be arrogant about being rich, right? I'm going to meddle for just a little bit with you. When you come off the freeway and you see the guy holding the sign, what are your thoughts and what are your feelings? I'm not real proud of mine. First thought is, get a job, pal. Second thought is, I made my way through life. Why can't you make your way through life? Would you sit next to him at lunch? How many times have you seen an individual in a restaurant or in a store and thought to yourself, or even said to the person next to you, they can't afford to be here? Do you see the danger? It creeps in ever so slowly and subtly. No matter how much we have, we can become arrogant about the blessings that God has given to us. So we recognize that we're rich, but now we've got to be on guard to make sure that we're not arrogant about being rich, right? The second danger that we have is the danger of migrating hope, right? So we keep going with chapter 6 here, right? Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. So the second thing that we have to be wary of is to make sure that our hope doesn't migrate from God, a total complete and trust and dependence and security in God and what he's done for us, and all of a sudden start putting our hope and our security and our wealth and what we have in our savings account, right? Now let's be honest, right? Be honest with me and I'll be honest with you, right? The more that I have in savings, the less I worry about unexpected bills. Absolutely. The more I have in savings, the more secure I feel, the better I feel about unexpected medical bills, car bills, home bills, things that we want to have done. Now, hear me out. I'm not saying that's wrong. It is not. In fact, it is biblical to have savings. Scripture teaches us that we should set aside savings for the future, that we should plan for the future, right, for those unexpected things. Absolutely. That's part of being a good steward with the money that God has entrusted with. What I'm saying is there's a danger of crossing the line. You cross the line when all of a sudden now your hope has migrated from complete dependence upon God to, yeah, God's doing a good thing here, but yeah, I feel okay because look how much I have in savings. Yeah, I trust God for everything, but I sure feel better and sleep better at night because my portfolio is looking pretty good, right? It's putting our trust in our wealth, right? There's a couple things that we don't want to put our trust in our wealth. First of all, ask yourself this. How much would you need to have so that you would feel prepared and secure for any unforeseen circumstance in your life, for any possibility of things that could go wrong in your life? I know what the answer is. More than you have now. For you to feel completely secure, no matter how much you have, the answer will always be more than you have now. Because our wealth will buckle under the pressure of the possible things that can happen in our life, right? And it can do nothing about those things that don't have any finance connected to them. So anything that emotionally happens to us, money does nothing for us in those, right? So it can't handle the weight of our trust and security. The second thing, which is what Paul points out to Timothy, he says, it's so unpredictable. You can't trust it. It's always changing, right? My goodness, do we need further proof than this past week, right? I mean, I don't understand the whole stock exchange and all that. All I know is I was bombarded every morning on the way in listening to news radio about how China was doing something or other and it was affecting the stock market and the Dow was down this much and everybody was fearing, trembling about how far down would it go and how many years ago it was this low. Well, next week it could be up, right? Every day, almost every hour, right? It's changing. It's up. It's down. This year's a good year. This year's a bad year. A good quarter, a bad quarter. It's unreliable. It's unreliable. We can't let our hope migrate from God over to our wealth. We place our hope in God because God is unchanging. His promises are unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and will be tomorrow. His promises don't change. God says that He'll take care of all of our needs. Let me paraphrase Romans chapter 8. You get to the end of chapter 8, and Paul is talking to the church at Rome. And finally, he concludes it by saying this. He says, look, he says, if God the Father was willing to sacrifice His Son, if the Father was willing to ask His Son to leave heaven, to take on flesh and bone, if He was willing to ask Him to die in your place and to watch as He died, as He took on the punishment for your wrongs, if He was willing to do that, what will He not do for you? Anything else pales in comparison. If God is willing to do that for you, then what will He not do for you? We have to be wary that our hope doesn't migrate from our wealth, from God. All right, last thing. You're rich. Be grateful. Be grateful. I've been saying it through the whole message, but let me say it again. This is not about you feeling guilty. Absolutely not. Because if you feel guilty right now, by the time you hit the doors to the parking lot, you're going to feel resentment, and all of a sudden you're going to get pretty defensive on me, right? Because you're going to go at home and you're going to say, I worked hard for this place. Yes, you did. I planned well to have this kind of retirement. Absolutely, you did. You were smart with your money. You were smart with your retirement. You worked hard for all the things that you have, and celebrate that. This is not about guilt. It is about gratitude. It is about gratitude. And acknowledging the blessings that God has given to you. Let's go back one last time to verse 17. He finishes up by this. He says, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our, did you catch that last word? Enjoyment. We miss that, don't we? God gives us these things, this physical wealth, for our enjoyment. We should enjoy the things that God has given to us. But at the same time, we also acknowledge the blessings of God and show gratitude to God for all that He's given to us. And I think that we struggle with that. I struggle with that. I'll give you an example, right? If you come up to me and say, "Boy, you have a nice family," my chest will puff out and I say, "I do. I am so blessed. I got a wonderful wife. I got great kids. God has blessed me with a wonderful family." Absolutely. I have people come up to me and say, "You got a great congregation." I puff up my chest. I say, "Yes, I do. I am so blessed to be part of Risen Savior. I am so glad that God brought me here." Absolutely, it's great. Somebody come up to me and say, "Hey, I like your new suit. I got it on sale." Right? Now, again, I'm not saying that we become arrogant about it. We don't become braggadocious about it. But as we acknowledge the other blessings that God has given us, should we not acknowledge and show gratitude to God for the wealth that He gives us, for the blessings that He gives us? It blows my mind that I make within the top 1% of wage earners of the world. I make more than $48,000 a year. That I'm in the top 1% of the wage earners of the world. That's staggering to me. That is humbling to me. That God would entrust me with so much. That God would allow me to live here in this country of affluence, right? Shouldn't I acknowledge that blessing and offer up my gratitude to God for all that He's given? Do me a favor. Would you take 5 minutes today? Just five. When you go home, I want you to take a look around and see all that you have, right? This is not about feeling guilty, right? See, I told you not to buy that big a TV. No. Take a look at all that you have and just acknowledge it. Acknowledge all the blessings that God has given to you. Because most, if not all of you, are rich. It's a great blessing from God. You may not feel rich, but that's different than being rich. And so I'm asking that for the next few weeks, you keep an open mind and an open heart, and together we're going to discover how to be rich. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, Your blessings are new to us each and every day. And by far, the greatest blessing that we have is salvation in Your Son. The gift of Jesus to us, His sacrifice on the cross, His death, His resurrection, of reconnecting us to You and guaranteeing us an eternity with You. There's no way that we can express enough gratitude for that blessing. And if that weren't enough, now You have showered us with earthly blessings. You have showered us with earthly wealth. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, that we would acknowledge and that we would see that indeed we are rich in this present world. And then we would be open to Your guidance, to Your teaching, of just exactly how to be rich. In Jesus' name, amen.